your marriage, family, and personal life to the next level.
Weekdays at noon on Ave Maria Radio.
Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Good morning, and welcome to Mass Appeal, the Saturday morning live show where you can get free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. This is Colleen Kelly Mass, your hostess today and every Saturday, here to help you with your personal problems. So get on the phone now. Hope we can hear you today. And call our toll-free number, 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number to get on today's Mass Appeal show. For those of you that are one of our new stations or just flipping your radio channels and came upon Catholic Radio here, first of all, this is Catholic Radio. Our show is produced by Ave Maria Radio and brought to you by your local Catholic radio station. So thank them both for doing that. And we are syndicated on, I think, 500 stations right now. So you are one of the lucky ones that get some inspirational, free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective every Saturday morning, as well as all the wonderful EWTN programming the rest of the week. So my background is in family life education. I'm the author of books called Love and Life and Sex Respect for Teens, parents' guides that go with them. I have a background in family life education. I've raised a family and come from a large family. And so we've had a lot of those same problems that you might be having, especially here as we approach the holidays during Advent, when we're trying to prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths, and get through the holidays. I know some of you may have had holiday issues over Thanksgiving. We started talking about those back in November. You know, how do we mend and build bridges and help our families learn to love if there has been division and different problems between us? How do we learn how to love and bring that love to our families and share God's love with them without being too harsh or judgmental or overzealous? And so that's always a question at this time of year. How do we handle this holiday situation? Or do we bring our kids into a situation where they might be scandalized? Or is it better just to have our own little Christmas at home or with our friends at church? Who knows? So we need some tips for a stress-free holiday here and be able to get through and share God's love. So I guess I shouldn't say just get through, but we've got those other struggles going on. You've got family problems. You've got extended family problems. You've got financial issues coming up. You've got your own spiritual and personal problems, problems in your friendship. So that's what I'm here for today, is to help you with your personal problems. So give me a call. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Well, the first Sunday of Advent came upon us pretty quickly last week when it was Thanksgiving break, and every few years we have the first Sunday of Advent on Thanksgiving weekend, and then some years we have it the week after, and that's when Christ the King is on Thanksgiving weekend. But this year we started Advent right away, barely finished all your Black Friday and Cyber Monday, and right between there we had the first Sunday of Advent. So let's see how your Advent is going. You know, are you cleansing your temple, preparing the way of the Lord? Tomorrow's Gospel challenges us to prepare the way of the Lord. St. John the Baptist can remind us even today that we need to prepare our hearts for God. And there was a meditation I read in the Magnificat almost a couple of weeks ago that reminded me of that gospel. How do we prepare our hearts for God this Christmas? We know, you know, the whole culture is telling us how to prepare our wallets or our credit cards, how to get the right things wrapped and buy the right tree. And some of those things are important because they're sources of frustration. You know, if the lights don't work and your cat's tearing down the tree, and how to pick out a real tree or where to hide the presents from the kids. Those are issues. We can address those today too, because they're just They might seem simple, but sometimes they can drive you crazy. So give me a call with your question or personal problem at 877-573-7825. But how do we cleanse that inside temple? So this meditation I was reading said that faith, when actualized, leads us to fear God, which leads us to make some attempt to introduce order to our lives. Now, those of us that are regular Catholics, as well as those of us that are just coming back to the faith, those of us that are just driving down the street and hearing, what's this show? It's a Catholic radio show. Always want order in our lives, whether it's your spiritual life, your financial life, your personal life, your emotional life. And that's where we need to get the demons out and make straight those paths. So this meditation said the demons will, for instance, try to get us into a frame of mind in which we think that we're entitled to be annoyed at somebody. Have you ever had that? You think you're entitled to be annoyed at somebody. So then we succumb to this, and then we shall devote our attention to the thought of the person with whom we are annoyed. Have you ever done that? When you're annoyed, you get annoyed at that person. I think that's one of the things that breaks down marriages and divides families, especially as we look at healing at this Advent season. So we think then we have a right to be annoyed. So instead of seeing some other human being angrily, what we could do as a true Christian is focus on the fact that we're annoyed and try to see our own anger and then fight against that. So the meditation said, at first he has to use any device for restraining anger that he can think of, but gradually he should become more adept at wielding our own powers, even if at first this only means using a nail to drive out a nail. So if we can reclaim anger for its proper purpose, which is introspection, look at ourselves and say, what needs to be righted? You know, why waste good anger getting annoyed with other people instead of against the demons who are deploying the anger? And so this meditation said, it's by Father Simon Tugwell, it was in the Magnificat a couple weeks ago, it says, in this way we shall be using anger in accordance with its true nature, to clear away through the thoughts which swarm all around us. Thus we move from a fairly blind lashing out against whatever seems to be getting in our way to a position where we are fighting in the daylight. So the desired goal, he said, of this whole exercise is a state in which we're no longer at the mercy of inappropriate reactions. And this is a profound state of balance and harmony. So doesn't that make us think about our relationship with our relatives, the ones that we just saw at Thanksgiving, the ones that we're going to be seeing over Christmas? What created division in the family, and how can we not be so irritated or annoyed with others? Is it us being judgmental? Is it our desire for pleasure or peace, and they're just irritating us, or we just want to be complacent, and they're trying to stir us up, or maybe it's hurting our own ego or our prestige? So let's think about that. Instead of being angry or irritable at a person, fight against our own anger. So remember that it's the devil's ploy to get us to disperse this anger that we're feeling on the person. So let's reclaim our anger and turn it against the demons who are trying to trap you. And maybe that's a way we can prepare the way of the Lord. So if anger is supposed to be anger is an emotion, first of all, but we don't want to turn it into one of the seven capital sins. So if we feel this this anger, this rage, or this emotion of irritation or even hatred, we don't want that to turn into sin. And so when we're feeling that emotion, all these thoughts are bombarding us, you know, from the inside, from our heads, from the people around us, you know, maybe the media is making us mad. Maybe there's something really that we should get mad about going on in the culture, which is true of many of our listeners here. So instead of lashing out at a person, which doesn't help us and actually can hurt other people and hurt our relationships with others, hurt our relationship with God. So when we get this angry feeling, let's first take control of our thoughts. Calm down in a quiet place. Think about what God wants you to do next. And then pray. Ask God to show you why we got angry. Now, we teach this to our kids, like count to five and calm down. But what are we doing with our own anger? So ask God to show you, you know, why you got angry. You know, point your finger at yourself first. You know, look into your own heart. You know, see which virtue you need to practice. Should it be, you know, figure out why you're annoyed. You know, is it that you're impatient? Is it that you didn't persevere and that person did? Is it obedience? You know, you don't want to obey a certain rule, or your boss or one of your kids doesn't want to obey you. Is it kindness? You know, a virtue that you're not that good at and you need to keep practicing because people have hurt you along the way so long? Or maybe it's one of those spiritual works of mercy we often talk about here. Do I need to bear this wrong patiently? Well, the spiritual works of mercy, bear wrongs patiently. Or maybe we have a justifiable anger like Jesus did in the temple. Like, do I need to peacefully correct something that wasn't fair? So if your anger is stirred up when you're with your relatives at the holidays, or if you're in your own home with your family because something isn't fair, yeah, it might be a justifiable anger, but why lash out on that person? Why wreck your relationship with just acting on that feeling right then? Why can't we take control of our thoughts, turn to prayer, turn to God, and then pray about how we can peaceably correct it, how we can correct it ourselves, how we can correct, you know, the problem that between this person or the situation in the culture that we should be mad at without hurting any person. Now that is a way that we can prepare the way of the Lord and make straight his path, because he did everything peacefully. Even when he came upon, you know, the biggest sinners, he would be very peaceful and he would call them out of their sin. So how can we solve problems without hurting anybody, without our anger taking over? And that's what being in control means too. We feel, we think, we pray. We don't act in every feeling. So if we can turn that fighting energy into fighting for goodness and truth, that would be a good use of all that fighting energy raging inside of us, so we don't just blindly lash out in the dark and hurt other people or create division in our family. But let's allow God to shed light on you and your situation, and practice that one more virtue this week and this month, and one more vice to squelch: anger out, kindness in. So how can we practice that here as we approach our families? And then how can we practice that forgiveness that we need to mend those wounds in our families? Well, that's our start here of our Advent show, and the day before the second Sunday of Advent here on Mast Appeal, where you can get free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825-877-5-PEP-TALK. One more news I do want to tell you about today, though. As you know, my background is in family life education. I wrote Sex, Respect, and Love and Life. I'm writing a new program for parents with their preteens and parents with young teens called Love Ed. And then I read this in the news, and it really disheartened me. It doesn't make me angry, but, well, it does. I have to figure out how to channel my anger. Well, anyway, in the news this week, last Monday, it was Tim Tebow that you might be familiar with. He's an athlete that is pro-life. And his girlfriend, former Miss USA, dumped him because he's committed to abstinence until marriage. Doesn't that, I shouldn't say make you angry after I just talked about anger. But how weird is that? Here's someone trying to be good. So the article said, more often lately, it seems that people who do the right thing are the ones facing criticism and rejection. This is from lifenews.com. This week, that pro-life athlete is Tim Tebow. So the CBS Tampa Bay reports that Tebow's girlfriend, the former Miss USA Olivia Culpo, broke up with him because he's saving sex until marriage. Oh, my goodness. She had to break up with him because she just couldn't handle it, a source told the New York Daily News. And then the thing is, she has a problem. I would love to meet with her and see if I could help her. He still wants to be with her, but she just can't deal with the abstinence. So he's pretty adamant about it. So the news report indicated that Tebow appeared to be very much in love with Culpo. He dated her for about 2 months. He told her he's committed to virginity with whomever he marries. And he really was sending her love letters and cute notes professing his love for her, the source told the Daily News. And Tebow, and those of you that are not into sports, I know my boys and my husband all know this, but he's a former NFL quarterback and Heisman Trophy Award winner. And he's been a real, very vocal about his Christian faith and the sanctity of life and abstinence. And what was it, about 6 years ago, I think he told reporters that he was a virgin, we remained till marriage. And he had told people the story about his family and how his mother had been told when he was in the womb that he was a fetal tumor and a mass of cells that had to be removed, and she refused to have an abortion. So he came out with a big pro-life message, you know, about 5 or 6 years ago, and shared his story with Focus on the Family in a Super Bowl commercial. So that's where you may have known the story of Tim Tebow. But now, to see if he is committed to abstinence, one group was trying to find somebody that could say he wasn't really a virgin. So one person offered $1 million to anyone who could offer proof that Tebow was lying, that he was a virgin, and nobody did. But I think that's kind of sad, that here somebody is doing right, doing the right thing, waiting until marriage, and is USA their girlfriend that they're in love with dumps him for that? It's a crazy world out there. So how do we channel this anger? Well, I'm trying to do something good. I'm trying to produce some wonderful programs. Should be coming out in a couple months here, called Love Ed, where parents and teens and parents and preteens learn about the meaning of life and the facts of life at the same time. So they'll know when life begins and that marriage can only happen between a man and a woman, no matter how you try to change the law, that there's a certain natural law behind all those things. So stay tuned. We'll be letting you know what Love Ed is all about as it comes out. And let's pray for Tim Tebow and his ex-girlfriend and see what problems we can solve today. So give me a call with your question or personal problem. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, 877-573-7825. And we'll be back with your calls and some answers in just a moment.
You might have seen a copy of the Michigan Catholic newspaper sitting in the back of your church. But have you picked one up lately? If so, you'll find we're not only Catholic news you can trust, but Catholic news you can use. Find out where your favorite priest is being assigned, read our popular Q&A columns, and learn more about your faith by reading the Michigan Catholic. Talk to your pastor or call 313-224-8000 or visit themichigancatholic.com.
Pope Francis has announced a year of mercy beginning this December 8th, and Archbishop Alan Vigneron has announced a year of evangelization for the Archdiocese of Detroit. St. Malachy Catholic Church will be participating in both these spiritual events by offering 24 hours of Eucharistic devotion and 24 hours of the Sacrament of Reconciliation. St. Malachy is located on 14 Mile Road in Sterling Heights between Shaner and Hayes. Call us at 586-264-1220 or email at contact@stmalachychurch.org.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. The document created to guide the discussions at the October 2015 Worldwide Synod of Bishops in Rome states the following, quote, "Life is a gift of God and a transcendent mystery. Consequently, in no manner must persons at the beginning of life or its end be discarded. On the contrary, steps ought to be taken to ensure that these stages of human life receive special attention," end quote. Here the Synod applies an approach we see in the life of Jesus. He went first to the weakest and poorest and paid the most attention to those who needed the most help. It is also a common sense approach. The weakest must be defended first. Let's give more attention to the children in the womb and to those who are weakened by age and sickness.
This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
The Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. This is Colleen Kelly Mast, your hostess today. And I'm here to help you with your personal problems as we enter this holiday season. We've all got things going on, and our first caller already hung up. Dave, did I want to talk to you? So call back. What a good question. You don't know how important that question was, because thousands of other people listening to the show today will have that same question, but some of them couldn't call in. So call back, because I know we want to hear your question and the answer. It's a good question. Okay, we'll next go to Peter from Akron, Ohio. Welcome to the show, Peter. How can I help you today?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, Peter. You're on the air now. Go ahead with your question.
First of all, I want to comment on when you started the show, you said, if you are listening on this radio, or if this radio reaches you, you are blessed, or it's a blessing. And indeed, it is a blessing. Because in where I come from, Canada, we don't have this blessing. And I hope one day it will reach us up there in Canada. And I hope the people here in the States enjoy this blessing that comes to them through this radio station.
Oh, thank you, Peter. Could you speak a little closer to your phone? We need a little more volume on your voice. But thank you for saying
okay.
That it's a blessing. And I hope that where you are from, so you're traveling from Canada to Ohio right now?
Yes, I travel a lot, and every time I come to the States, I can't wait to turn on this radio station and keep it on my car all the time.
Oh, nice.
It is indeed a blessing, and thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I hope people in the States appreciate it and listen to it, because it is a blessing.
Okay, great. They do. Okay, what's your question today, Peter?
Yes. My issue is, like every family or every Catholic family, some members are religious in this family, and some members are either lukewarm, and some members, frankly, maybe they're not religious anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because many of our members sometimes drift away. Now, the issue is we as Catholics, we keep loving the other members and praying for them and hoping that one day they will come back to church.
Mm-hmm.
And when we have family gatherings, we invite them.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, sometimes they don't show up.
Right.
But then when they have their gatherings, they don't invite us.
Oh.
So it's creating a resentment within my kids and their cousins.
So
for me personally, I keep the bridges. I cross the bridge. I always call them. I always drop by their house, and I always visit them, because we want to keep loving them.
Yes.
If they don't love us, that's their problem. But
exactly.
Us as Christians, we have to show the love of Christ.
Yes.
But how can I deal with my kids now?
Okay. All right. How old are your kids, Peter?
They are in their teenage years.
Okay.
And especially around Christmas time, this would be the most difficult time, because the other side of the family, let us say they celebrate Christmas and bring gifts to the other kids and all that, but yet my kids have always been somehow excluded.
Goodness, that is an injustice. Okay, let's think of a solution to this, Peter. Well, it's something that does need to be addressed in both directions, one for your own children and the other for the relatives that are not inviting you. So I would say that, first of all, do you know that the reason they're not inviting you is because you're religious and they don't want you there for some reason? Or do you think there's another reason, some other kind of alienation?
Well, the thing is, I don't like to say this, but when they come to our house, we have a picture of Jesus and Mary and the cross in every room. You think you're coming into a small church, per se.
Right.
And we pray before meals and all that. And I somehow felt that they, I don't want to say resented, but they don't like it. Let's put it this way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so that's when they invite you to their house, though. Did you do anything different or make them pray, or why would they not have you to their place?
Yes, exactly. I refuse to start the meal without praying. So I will stop everybody and say, let's do a prayer and all that. And, maybe they feel I am imposing on them my religious beliefs or something like that. So I'm not sure.
Okay.
Really,
all right. Well, first of all, talk to your own children and read some of those gospel readings and even in the Beatitudes, that sometimes people are persecuted for justice's sake. And if this is a persecution they're experiencing because of your family's belief in God, then the Bible would probably say rejoice and be glad, even though in their hearts they're hurting to be alienated from their cousins in that way. So rejoice that the suffering that you guys experience as a family, being alienated from the extended family because of your faith, if that is a form of persecution because of your faith, then you take that as another blow, like one of those quiet martyrs. And so educate your kids on that, first of all. But the second thing that we want to do is figure out a way to reach out to your extended family and mend this, maybe before this very Christmas, so we can find a way that we can get this family back together, get you invited. But it sounds like the music's coming on here, so we're going to have to take the second part of that answer, Peter, right after this message.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
Catholics believe families are to be communities of love, but it's hard to be a loving community if a family doesn't spend any time together. A recent daycare study highlights this. In Quebec, for over a decade now, families can take advantage of very inexpensive daycare, and almost everyone does. But recently, researchers found that kids in Quebec are significantly more anxious and depressed than they were before universal daycare. Moreover, they're much worse off than kids in other Canadian provinces whose parents don't have such ready access to universal daycare programs. Even more shocking, couples in Quebec report much less happiness with their marriages since daycare became the norm. Sometimes daycare is necessary, but it's never what's best for families. If you use daycare and don't have to, you might be missing more than you think. Come home. The satisfaction will be worth a sacrifice. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
There is essentially one true priest, says the Catholic Catechism, and that is Jesus Christ. All others are his ministers. There is the common priesthood in which all of the baptized and confirmed faithful participate according to their vocation. Bishops and priests make up the ministerial priesthood, which is essentially at the service of the common or holy priesthood, the faithful. Jesus is the one unique mediator between God the Father and the faithful. With a single offering, he brought about salvation once and for all. Still, that sacrifice is made present through the celebration of the Mass. Christ is made present through the ministerial priesthood without diminishing the uniqueness of his own priesthood. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Kelly Mass on Mass Appeal. Here to give you some free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. So give me a call. Actually, a couple people have hung up. That were, lines seemed full when you were calling in and getting a busy signal a little while ago. So give us a call now at 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. We're talking to Peter from Canada, who's in Ohio, that loves to hear Catholic radio when he comes into the States. And I think one of the issues we want to address here are those spiritual works of mercy again. Peter's family is alienating his family because they're religious and faithful, and they're not inviting his family to Christmas, which hurts his teenagers. And so as much as we want to bear wrongs patiently and forgive injuries and pray for the living and the dead, those are three of the spiritual works of mercy. We want to, again, he needs to work with his own kids about comforting the sorrowful because they're sorry that they aren't invited to Christmas. But how do we do this, convert the sinner, instruct the ignorant, spiritual works of mercy? And that's a very delicate thing to do. So what I'm going to suggest that you do, Peter, is try to meet with the host that is not inviting you, whether it's your, you know, brother or sister-in-law or sister. Meet with them this week sometime. Just go out for coffee, get together, and chat about that. Bring that into the light. And before you go, certainly pray, because we want the light of Christ to be shed on a reconciliation here. We want God to shed his light on this particular injustice. And so instead of going over, you know, mad or wondering, you know, why you aren't invited and just being hurt by it, just bring in that attitude of forgiveness and love without him knowing that, you know, exactly what you want to do, but just say, can we get together? And talk about our family. And then meet with him and just say, let him know that your family is hurt by that, and ask him if there's anything you can do to bridge that gap between you, if there's any particular reason why he wouldn't invite you to Christmas, and hear it out loud. Because instead of just keeping it quiet and being offended for not being invited, maybe if he just expressed it out loud, he could get it out of his system. You can respond to it, maybe say, well, I was so mad because your meal prayer was so long, the food was cold, and which actually happened at one of our Thanksgivings one year at our family. And so we all agreed to have a shorter prayer. But there might be some way that you can find out what's really bothering him, why he wouldn't want to invite you. But in your heart, know that sometimes it's guilt. I mean, sometimes people don't invite you if you're religious because when you're around, they have to examine their conscience and realize, I haven't gone to church in 20 years and I've, you know, done this and that. And instead of them seeing themselves, they feel judged. But it's really their own conscience bothering them. So sometimes people might be alienated just by your presence because you're trying to live the faith. But anyway, go back to meeting with him, chatting with him, talking to them, and just say, is there a way we can bridge this gap? My kids are being alienated. We want them to love their cousins and care for their cousins, and we would like to be together this Christmas. And see what he says. And you don't have to compromise your faith, but for example, if he says, oh, we were so overwhelmed by XYZ or something that you said, and then you just temper that. You just, you know, have a shorter grace prayer, or ask him to have somebody else lead it this year. Maybe there's one other person in the family, or maybe one of your kids could just say the basic blessing, so everybody can be drawn into a memory of when they used to say grace when they were little. So find some kind of compromise, without certainly compromising your faith, a way that they would feel comfortable with you being there so you can mend the family. And I would say that if you pray beforehand and his heart is open, he might feel bad that you're not invited. And sometimes just bringing that whole situation into the light will help it. So meet with them, talk about it, see if they would invite you, and what irritated you in the past. Express sorrow and ask his forgiveness for anything that you've done to offend him, and see if you guys can come this year, at least for the sake of your kids and for the sake of justice and peace and love and mending the family. So I'd make an effort to do that and let your kids know to pray as well. So try that, Peter, and let me know how it goes, and I hope your family can have a wonderful holiday season. Thanks for the call. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. Teresa from Scranton, Pennsylvania. Welcome to the show, Teresa. How can I help you today?
Hi, Colleen. It's Teresa. I love hearing you every morning on Saturdays.
Oh, thank you, Teresa.
There was one question I had. Somebody, I spoke to a homeschooling group yesterday, and the one mom said that the dad wasn't going to go to the one talk. You know how you had to talk for the girls and the moms and the boys and the dads?
Mm-hmm.
If the dad doesn't want to go, what do we do?
Oh, okay. Well, if the dad doesn't want to go, then we've done this with these growing up programs for the last 4 years in our diocese, is that have somebody who cares about this child and can mentor him come with them. Sometimes we have a grandpa come. Sometimes it's an uncle. One time it was an older brother. And if not, then the mom can come. And so and sometimes the dad's out of town for work or something like that. So we've had moms come with boys and dads come with girls. Of course, it's the ideal that the same-sex parent would attend the program because of the discussion that's involved in it, both with the science and the morality. But if not, you know, another male relatives or the mom. So that would be okay.
All right, okay. Now I know how to answer that question.
Okay.
But remember when you were out here, you had given me two books, The Emotion Code and The Healing Code?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the author's name, and we moved from upstairs to downstairs, and I lost the paper.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Why don't you email me through my website, mastappeal@avemariaradio.net, mastappeal@avemariaradio.net.
Okay.
And I'll send you the authors to those.
Okay, yeah, because my daughter wants to buy the books for me.
Okay. Oh, nice. Yeah, that's good. Get a Christmas present that can help you.
Yes.
All
thank
right.
you. And
okay.
Please pray for Elizabeth because she broke up with her boyfriend.
Oh, my goodness. I will. I will do that.
Okay.
All right.
It's so good to hear your voice and love you much. And keep up the great work.
Thank you, Teresa. Thanks so much. Yeah, Teresa was the one who coordinated my trip to Scranton, Pennsylvania back in October. And she did a super job. She's with the Pennsylvanians for Life, the Scranton chapter. And I can't even tell you how many talks I did there. I spoke to high school students, and then I spoke to parents, and then I spoke to 7th and 8th graders. They bust in all the junior high kids to the high school. Then I spoke to Scranton University of Scranton, waiter mate, my college-age talk. And then I did the Growing Up program.
I'm Peggy Stanton, and I'm inviting you to join me on Power from the Pews when I interview the people who are engaged in remarkable ministries that are making a real difference in their parishes and the world. That's this Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
Light of the East. Weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I'm Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, whether he is Santa Claus or St. Nicholas, the liturgical celebration of the Feast of St. Nicholas is a witness to how Eastern churches evangelize and live in the both and.
Saturday evenings at 8:30 and Sunday mornings at 9 on 990 WDEO Ave Maria Radio.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
Our individual and corporate relationship with our Lord, our relationship with the church, the precepts of the church, our relationship with the world and the culture that surrounds us. Father John Ricardo discusses these things and more, all from the Catholic perspective on Christ is the answer. Listen to Christ is the Answer Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday afternoons at 5, and Sunday mornings at 11 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the Answer.
Christ is the Answer is brought to you by the Ave Maria Communications Guild.
And I took it. So the last 8 years, she took everything that my parents wanted me to have, and leaving me not enough to maintain, mother left me her house. And every time I would leave to go to Mass, they would have someone break in and steal my things.
Oh, my goodness.
And I've lived here for 50 years, so they would only go in my bedroom and take my things. They didn't come and take mother's things. So, and it's cold back there because the heater broke because I can't maintain the property because my sister took all the money. So I wouldn't go back there for a long time, years, actually, because it's so cold back there.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know. And by the time I realized the things were missing, I think they sold them or something. I don't know, but it's my lifelong collection.
Mm-hmm. Well, something you might consider, Becky, is to get some legal advice. Maybe you can get some free legal advice to see if you can see that some justice can be done in this situation. Maybe something can be done based on what your parents left to you and what your sister took. So if you can find some a free advice lawyer to look into this for you, it might help you at least seek some justice. But in terms of forgiveness, yes, the Bible says hate evil, and it seems to you that what she's doing is evil. And so your forgiveness for her is going to help you from letting that evil or that unforgiveness fester in you. So you don't have to necessarily make up with her or make friends with her, and actually to seek a legal resolution to this might be a way of seeking justice, but still be nice about it. You don't have to be mean back to her, but you can say, because this is unjust, I'm seeking legal assistance, and then and figure out how you can make justice out of what took place. So forgive her personally, forgive her in your heart so it doesn't fester in you, but then seek whatever is necessary to see that fairness can be done here in this life. So you're right. The Bible says hate evil, and you don't have to make up with her, but you could let her know that she has offended you and you're hurt and you've forgiven her, and you can seek whatever kind of justice would make sense according to the law that's available to you. So God bless you, Becky, and thanks for taking care of your parents as well. This is Mast Appeal, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. We got a couple really interesting questions coming up, so stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment.
You might have seen a copy of the Michigan Catholic newspaper sitting in the back of your church, but have you picked one up lately? If so, you'll find we're not only Catholic news you can trust, but Catholic news you can use. Find out where your favorite priest is being assigned, read our popular Q&A columns, and learn more about your faith by reading the Michigan Catholic. Talk to your pastor or call 313-224-8000 or visit themichigancatholic.com.
Would you ride a bus on a snowy, foggy night for 12 hours to save a life? Would you walk with hundreds of thousands of fellow Americans to defend the defenseless? Hi, this is Peggy Stanton. Join me on a bus with pilgrims from 6 months to 60 and find out what it's like to ride for life. That's this Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
The Ave Maria Communications Guild invites you to activate your faith. All are invited to deepen their relationship with the third person of the Holy Trinity at the Holy Spirit Seminar, Saturday, February 7th at Christ the King in Ann Arbor. This day-long retreat echoes the experience of the first Pentecost. For more information, call 734-741-1224. Join Detroit Archbishop Alan Vigneron on Sunday, February 8th, the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes, for the annual Mass for the World Day of the Sick at the Cathedral of the Most Blessed Sacrament. Those suffering, as well as caregivers, healthcare professionals, and loved ones, are warmly encouraged to attend. Learn more by calling 248-548-4044, extension 3126. You can find many more events and enter your own events at our website, AveMariaRadio.net. To become a member of the Guild, call 877-288-1077. Catholic Radio is yours to keep and to grow.
Thank you.
Saturday morning, and welcome to Masked Appeal, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective from me, Colleen Kelly Mast. You can learn more about my work, my speaking, my books, my website, respectincorporated.com. So if you need a puberty workshop for your parents with preteens or teens, or a pro-life science workshop for your teenagers with their parents, maybe the 7th and 8th graders, or a Catholic women's retreat speaker, or a seminar for Catholic parents, or a speaker for a pro-life event, or training for your catechists or parents in your parish or diocese, go ahead and check out my website, sexrespect.com or respectincorporated.com under speaking. I have a form there you can fill out and make an inquiry about your date and your topic. But for now, we're here for free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. So our first caller at this segment is Dolores from New York. Welcome to the show, Dolores. How can I help you today?
I thought you might like to hear this. I am not a gentle soul. I hate all boys. And I'm not soft-spoken. And what I do is give them truth, hit them in the intellect with them, and give them the rationality to defend themselves.
Good for you.
With all boys, what I said to them when they spoke about the secular world and how things were and what have you, I said, oh, well, gee, you can have an intimate relationship with a girl who's somebody else's daughter. Well, thank you. That means I can go out as a girl, and I can have an intimate relationship with whoever I want, because it's going to feel good. Mom, you can't do that. I said, why not? You're married. Oh, excuse me. Okay, and what's the difference? You know, should I tell your father if I did this? And how about, let's go talk to the girl's parents about this. Okay, gotcha, Mom. Boys, I always hit them between the eyes with a direct confrontation. And when one of my sons had to have major surgery and the doctor said to him, I need to speak to you privately, and my son at 28 said, you can say anything in front of my mother. Well, I want to talk to you about your sex life. And David looked at me and said, what sex life? I don't know, sex life till you get married. Why don't you ask my mother? Boys are very, and even the boys that get married, or even kids that I don't know, when they talk about their girlfriends, and I've had many, many children that have come here, young people, mm-hmm. teenage people, and I've always spoken directly to them, and then I don't see them for a bit. And I said, okay, what did you do wrong? If you don't want to see me, what did you do wrong? Now you got to go to confession. Now you got to straighten up. And they do know, and they appreciate, and years later they come back and thank me.
Oh, great, great.
But that I don't know if I'm supposed to. My middle name's Jones, so maybe that's the warrior part.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, what you're speaking about, one of the things that I talked about is the de-education relative to what is called eros, corrupted to sex.
Mm-hmm.
Eros is sensitive love, and I explain that, you know, and I explain that to them in the difference between non-living and singly, doubly, and trebly automotive. And they say, why do you want to be less than an animal? An animal is instinctive.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to control yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And in the schools, I have objected to what is being taught in the schools. I taught my children from the time they were little anatomy and physiology with my medical books, and they know about it. And the only part that I told them when they were little relative to sensitive, and I said, that part of your body you don't need to know until you're going to get married. And, you know, then I explain to them as males what happens by nature, and then you have to wait. We don't get married at 12, 13, 14 anymore.
Exactly.
And I said, nature will take care of stuff, but why are they teaching the children this stuff in school? They're teaching them drugs. Please tell me. They're teaching them sex, and they focus on the genitalia, and that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We need to know all our anatomy and physiology because we will live with our own bodies.
Right.
And I always tell kids you need to know three things you need to know. God first, then you need to know your own physiology because you will live with yourself your whole life. The third thing you need to know is the economics because you have to deal with your practical well-being and finances for all the days of your life.
Wow. That's good. Sounds like you're a very practical mother, Dolores, and your sons were blessed to have a mom like you that was very practical, straightforward, and knowledgeable, I can tell. Well, thank you so much. That's great information for all of us. And for those, you're true, you're right about the schools, and that's what I've been working on for many, many years. And I had written a program, and I still have it available, called Sex Respect, The Option of True Sexual Freedom, that teaches the difference, just what you mentioned, between human beings and animals. I have a whole chapter called Who's in Charge Here? You know, Mind Over Matter. And I talk about human reproduction as a much higher meaning than animal reproduction, and that human beings have control over their drives and desires because we have a free will and intellect. We can channel our sexual energy to other productive activities, and animals can't. They just follow their instinct. You're right. And this is a drive, not a need. You know, we don't need to do this to stay alive. So if they're going to be a mature human being, they have to think before they act. So I have a whole chapter on that in my public school book, or my book to help your teen think about that. For those of you that are listening saying, how did Dolores know that, to tell her kids that? You might want to get a copy of the parent and student workbook of Sex Respect, The Option of True Sexual Freedom, that you can get on my website at sexrespect.com. So it'll help you get that logic behind the questions that your kids might be asking, or when they think that something makes sense because, where did Dolores use? De-education of Eros, that kind of love. I also have a chapter in there on cohabitation, is marriage outdated, and what do we need to prepare for marriage? What character traits do we develop now so that we can have a good marriage later? And my favorite section that I quote often in this on the show is the part called Marriage Not to be Tested on Humans. And marriage is for people. And then I have a segment, Should You Marry or Not Marry? So if you have a teen in your life, a nephew, grandson, child, friend, that might want some logical reasons on why you should wait until marriage, get a copy of Sex Respect, The Option of True Sexual Freedom, the student workbook, and the parent's guide, and work through that so you can have those logical, simple answers. There's a simple physiology in there, but most of it is understanding the health reasons of why we should wait until marriage. So check that out, Sex Respect, The Option of True Sexual Freedom, at sexrespect.com. So thanks for the call. And we got plenty of callers coming up here. We have, usually the top of the second hour, we have a youth caller that gets first chance on the line. And actually, we have somebody calling about shows like The Bachelor or Bachelorette that will be taken in a moment right after our top of the hour break here. So we also have someone that just called in for prayers, a member of religious community, and one of his religious brothers is contemplating leaving the community. So please pray for the intentions of all of our listeners and our callers. And give me a call if you want to be on next hour on Mass Appeal at 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. We'll be back in just a moment.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
The following is a message brought to you by the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan.
Jesus instructs us to not be afraid. Yet one common fear is that of loneliness or thinking no one cares. This can cloud our lives with disillusion and despair. However, we are never alone. As John's gospel and letters emphasize, God is love and cares for us so much that he redeemed us through Jesus, his son. And Jesus did not redeem us as strangers, but as people he knows well enough to call by individual name. On Easter morning, Mary Magdalene rejoiced when she heard Jesus call her name, and Jesus is waiting for us to rejoice as he calls our names each day. Let us pray that we can hear God calling our name and know that we are loved as his children. This message is brought to you by the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan, CBSMICH.org.
Are you tired of the way your faith is represented in the mainstream media? Stop getting your Catholic news from secular sources and get it from a trusted local Catholic source instead. At the Michigan Catholic Newspaper, we're Catholic, and we cover your Catholic Church in a way that only Catholics could. For the same reason you listen to Ave Maria, get the Michigan Catholic for just $24 a year by calling 313-224-8000 or visit themichigancatholic.com.
It was a pretty good week at the UN as the Third Committee of the General Assembly finished its work. Once more, governments push back against the zeitgeist. This is Austin Rusev, CFAM, for the UN Minute. The Third Committee of the General Assembly negotiates non-binding resolutions on social issues. It is the scene of great mischief, where dangerous ideas gain currency and are foisted upon the world. In recent years, governments have started pushing back against the sexually progressive zeitgeist, and this year was no different. In the annual resolution on youth, the term reproductive rights was blocked. The term sexual orientation and gender identity yet again was rejected in all resolutions. Even sex ed came in for a heated four-hour debate, something that usually passes by consensus. The entire Africa group objected, and even India called it propaganda. The language eventually passed, but not without a blistering fight. It was a pretty good week at the UN. This is Austin Rusev, CFAM, for the UN Minute. For more information, go to c-fam.org.
This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Get some free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. And if you called last hour and you got a busy signal, there are lines open waiting to hear from you. Even Steve from Scranton called back. But at the top of the second hour, I usually try to take a youth question or an email or a call, and there aren't any youth callers hanging out here, so hang on a few minutes, Steve, and we will get to this youth email question. This was, and you can email me, send me your questions at mastappeal@avemariaradio.net. mastappeal@avemariaradio.net. Now, they do have an email address at Ave Maria Radio also for Colleen, but since people spell it differently, the Mast Appeal one is easier to remember. mastappeal@avemariaradio.net. So, got a question from Jen and Zach. Dear Colleen, we are in our late 20s and got married 2 years ago. And I hate to say it, but our worst marriage problem is disagreeing on money. Now, can you imagine disagreeing on money, you guys? Here it is. Getting ready for Christmas. You've just been married a couple years. You got presents to buy. It's hard to balance the budget. So what she said was, we're not broke, but we have much different spending habits. I know this isn't worth divorcing about, but it's really bad. Any advice you can offer? Okay. All right. Well, first of all, when you, and I would presume being early marriage, you're probably both still working, and that's an issue too, because you always need to respect each other's income as
your joint income. You've joined your lives together. So, you know, even no matter who brings in the most money, always be respectful of whatever work and money the other person brings in. But really, financial counselors often point to finances as the most common cause of divorce. It's not totally true, but you'll hear that from a lot of financial counselors. There was a study at Brigham Young University that looked at 600 couples from across the nation from different ethnic, religious, and economic backgrounds. And according to the guy who did this study, Jason Carroll, he said financial problems are as much a result of how we think about money as how we spend it. So Jen and Zach, think about that first. How you're thinking about money might be as big of a problem as how much money you're spending. So the first thing I'm going to suggest that you look at is your spending personalities, your spending habits. So sometimes the solution isn't just making more money. Sometimes it might be improving your communication skills so you can talk about these different ways of spending money, the different values that might underlie your financial decisions. Because if one of you is, you know, very materialistic, that's going to put financial strain on the marriage, no matter what your income is. Because then this one person expects their lifestyle is going to bring them happiness, rather than finding happiness in your relationship, in your family, and in each other. So examine that first, Jen and Zach. Like, is one of you expecting a lifestyle that's higher than the expectations of the other? And are they looking for happiness in stuff or lifestyle or vacations or boats rather than personal happiness in your relationship with God and your relationship with each other, relationship with your family and your friends? So that's another question to ask yourself. So let's look at what the spending personalities might be. Like if one person is really thrifty and the other is a spendthrift, you know, these traits are deeply rooted. This is something that it might be part of their temperament or personality, and that can cause tension. It can cause conflict. I remember before my daughter got married, we sat them down and had them take the personality test, the personality plus for couples. And when we saw both of their levels of generosity, we could see that they were going to have money issues no matter how much money they make, because they love to buy dinner for everyone and now we deserve this treat and let's get steaks tonight and let's have friends over. And so we could see that both of them having that and one of them not being the more miser, thrifty, less budget could create a money problem. So that could be one of yours. If both of you are super generous or super materialistic, that could be a problem. But if it's a tension between two different approaches to money, we have to work on that with communication. Because if both of you are spendthrifts, you know, you're going to face issues of debt management. No matter what your income is, you're going to be in debt for more things if you spend more than you have or if you're caught up in the credit trap. But one multimillionaire, one of the Rockefellers, said when they asked him how much money it takes to be really satisfied, and he said, just a little bit more. And here's somebody who's from a family of multimillionaires. So if one of you is on the high spendthrift scale and the other is a miser, the tension of conflict over money is going to be obvious. So if the extremes are not too severe, the communication skills might be able to help you bring out some compromise and a healthy balance. So either seeing a counselor or a financial counselor might help you, because then there's a third party. You don't see the other spouse as your enemy. So maybe you could have, if one of you is more detailed or more thrifty, have that person keep the books and write the checks. It doesn't always have to be the man in charge of the finances if he's not the one that's more detailed. So whoever it is, male or female, as Pope John Paul II says, offer your gifts in this complementary union. So the more thrifty, detailed person might keep the books and write the checks. And then you look at it together. What are you spending? What did you spend? And if you look at it, first of all, every week, what are you spending? What did you spend? And talk about not the money itself, but what maybe your hidden thoughts are. If you've just been married 2 years, you might have been
leaving those ideas quiet so far, but it's time to communicate peacefully about those. But if both of you are super frugal, you know, and you, and both of you are extremely thrifty, and you might not be spending enough just on recreation or relaxing. Maybe you're just workaholics and no play. That could create tension because you might just need some time for relaxation. So think about, especially at this Christmas season, as we approach the Christmas shopping time, for those of you that didn't do the Cyber Monday, Black Friday, Thanksgiving night things last week, it could be a tension in your shopping style. So which shopping style fits you? First of all, there's that utilitarian shopping style. I shop for what I need, and that's it. I'm out of the store quickly. So that's one shopping style. Another is that laissez-faire shopping style. Well, when I see something I like, I buy it. I don't plan for it. I just follow my whim. So that is another shopping style. And if the two of you are those two shopping styles, that's going to create some tension when either of you shop. Because you're just going to, if you're just going to see the person who's the buy whatever they like, don't plan for it, follow their whim as getting out of the budget. And the person who is the utilitarian person that says, get in and out of the store, just buy what's on the list, you're going to see that is a problem. But then there's another shopping style. Actually, there are a couple more. One is the bargain hunter. I check the ads. When something's on sale, I snatch it up and stock up. And I feel great when I know I've gotten a good deal. Shopping's like a sport for this person. So if they're the bargain hunter and you're the thrifty, keep track of everything, you might be saying, hey, that wasn't in our food budget. You spent, you know, $52 on meat. But you come back and say, hey, but this was filet mignon on sale, and I had it cut special for steak. So every time you want to have a steak, we can pull two out, and I had them packaged in twos. And so I have enough money for us to eat steak for 6 weeks, once a week, every Saturday night. So you see yourself as a bargain hunter, thinking, now we don't have to go out for dinner for a treat. We have treats in. And the person who is the utilitarian person says, hey, you went over budget. So that can create tension. But that's something that can be worked on by both looking at the numbers and working through communicating about why you saw that it was a good deal, instead of somebody just rigidly making judgment on that one. Another shopping style. So we had utilitarian, the laissez-faire, the bargain hunter. Then here's one that creates a problem in marriages sometimes, whether it's you, Jen, or for Zach, your husband, if you've just been married a couple years. Some people have what they call retail therapy problems. So when they're in a bad mood, they go buy something that helps them feel better. Now, this can create tension in your marriage, too. So it didn't say in your email exactly why you disagreed about money, but if your husband, for example, is the one who's very utilitarian shopper and the frugal budget, and you're the one, when I'm in a bad mood, I buy something that helps me feel better, that could be a problem. Or if he's the one that goes out to buy something to make him feel better. My girlfriend is married to someone who is like that, and his expenses were even more than hers, because when he went out to buy something to help him feel better, it was things like a snowmobile or a jet ski. I mean, it's like a big toy. So retail therapy would create tension in a marriage. So address that as a problem and try to figure out what we can do to grow in happiness and recreate by doing something that's free. You know, it didn't say where you were from, but if you're in the South or the West, California, Texas, or Florida, you can certainly go on hikes and do free things outside all year round. In the Midwest and in the North and the Northeast, there are many things you can do that are less expensive outside, or you can enjoy the outdoors all year round too. So those are the four. Well, there's one more shopping style. That's the recreational shopping style. I knew a family where the mom and the daughter would go out shopping every Saturday just because that's what they did on Saturdays. That was their form of recreation. And they window shopped, and they'd spend hours, you know, shopping alone or, you know, with their daughters. And this creates a problem because it leads you to that, when I see something I like, I buy it, or this is a good deal and I get it. So shopping as recreation could be a problem. So five different shopping styles. And if you're the two of you, your shopping styles conflict, you might acknowledge the difference or not shop together so you don't shop arguing.
but hold one another accountable in a very kind and gentle way. So the complicated thing about money in a marriage is that it's sometimes tied up with power, and that can be the source of a problem in marriage too. So you might think the person who makes the most money is more valued and should have a greater say in financial decisions. But you need to remember that, you know, if it's the wife that's home, or the wife that works more, or the husband that's home more, the spouses that do the tasks around the house most for which they're not paid contribute to the marriage and their common life in a different and very valuable way. Or maybe one of the spouses is ill, or one is unemployed and they can't contribute financially in the way that they used to. So each of you, husband and wife, needs to feel valued and respected in your own home, regardless of how much money you bring in or what your spending habits are. But do make sure that you discuss your spending habits, see what the root of those are, work on your budget together, have the one that's more detail-oriented, help in, again, a very kind way to work on that together. And another thing we've got to remember to do as Catholics is to give away some of our money. You know, in a strong and life-giving marriage, our fiscal responsibility isn't just about making money or spending money or saving it, but as Catholics, we're responsible to give money away, first of all to our parish, then to some religious organization or charity, or to our neighbors in need. And I'm sure everyone has an opportunity to give this Christmas season. There was a Giving Tuesday this past week. Maybe you got many emails. There many parishes have a Christmas giving tree up in the back of church when you go tonight or tomorrow, that you can give to someone who's needy. You know, those Salvation Army guys are out there in front of the churches. So how are you giving to your neighbors? So once you can, I don't know, maybe it isn't once you get settled in your spending habits and solve your money problems. Maybe giving is that first thing you should do. Give a certain portion away. 5% Catholics do, 10% Protestants too. So how, you know, maybe it's somebody who's selling wrapping paper at the front door for his club or the band at the school. But how are you giving away to others? You've probably heard that living simply so others can simply live is that path to satisfaction and happiness. So Jen and Zach, thank you for the email. Communicate about your money. Look at your spending habits, your saving habits, your giving away habits, and talk about this. And it's not, you're right, it's not worth a marriage, it's not worth divorcing over, but since you've just been married 2 years, it might be something you've not addressed yet. So take some common sense to this, take some prayer to this, look at your spending habits, look at your respect for one another, and maybe see a financial counselor that can help you look at your spending habits in a more objective way than doing it with each other. But don't accuse each other. Don't put each other down. Just work toward a solution. And spend well and give away what you can, and then work toward your happiness that's not based in a lifestyle, but finding happiness in our Lord and fulfilling His will for your family. So thank you for that email, Jen and Zach, about early marriage and money issues. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, so it's time to go to your calls. You give me a call with your question or personal problem. We have another 45 minutes here on Mast Appeal this morning, the day before our first Sunday of Advent. Give me a call at 2nd Sunday of Advent. Missed that because it was Thanksgiving in our first week of Advent here. 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. And we'll be back in just a moment.
You remember the day you first laid eyes on her. They handed you the keys and you drove back home for everyone to admire. And although the memories have been made, it's time to pass the torch to someone else. Consider donating your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Even if it's not running, we'll take care of everything from pickup to your tax receipt. Just call 866-628-CARS to show you just how easy it is to donate. That's 866-628-CARS. And mention Ave Maria Radio.
This is Lavinia Spirito for Catholic Way Bible Study. And I say also to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This passage from Matthew describes the commission of Peter, given to him at Banias, ancient Caesarea Philippi, before the great rock of the pagan shrine, known to be one of the gates of the underworld. Realizing that the gates of hell have it in for us may give us pause, but no one has ever been attacked by a gate. It's a defensive measure. The prince of this world is on the defensive, which means that we are on the offensive. The gates of hell will not pursue us. Rather, we, the church militant, will attack the gates to set the captives free. We are already equipped and commissioned to raid and poach in Satan's territory and rescue souls out from under him. Are you ready for the task at hand?
Catholic Way Bible Study. Peace, power, purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
Pope Francis has announced a year of mercy beginning this December 8th, and Archbishop Alan Vigneron has announced a year of evangelization for the Archdiocese of Detroit. St. Malachy Catholic Church will be participating in both these spiritual events by offering 24 hours of Eucharistic devotion and 24 hours of the Sacrament of Reconciliation. St. Malachy is located on 14 Mile Road in Sterling Heights between Shaner and Hayes. Call us at 586-264-1220 or email at contact@stmalachychurch.org.
Welcome back to Mass Appeal, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number to get on today's Mass Appeal with your question or personal problem. As we are a week into Advent now, preparing for Christmas, trying to solve family problems, and even starting up the Year of Mercy this week. So we've got some callers on the line, and we're waiting to hear from you as well at 877-573-7825. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, and you're listening to Catholic Radio. Steve from Scranton, you were on first hour and then had to go to Mass and come back. Well, good for your faithfulness there. We don't want to miss Mass to listen to a radio show, as much as we appreciate our listeners. So, Steve, how can I help you? Go ahead with your question.
Well, if I could make a comment on that T-Bowl thing, I have a son like that. If he doesn't give in to sex, then they say either, what's wrong? You're weird, or you're, you know, something's wrong with you.
Oh, good for him. So the top of the hour, let me just clue in our audience who just joined us second hour. At the top of the hour, I mentioned a news story that was in this week in lifenews.com where Miss USA dumped Tim Tebow, a professional Heisman Trophy Award winner, former NFL quarterback, because he's committed to abstinence till marriage. So, Steve, when he referred to Tim Tebow, you're saying, Steve, that one of your sons is also committed to waiting till marriage and gets flack from his friends as well?
Yeah, especially the girl. He's 40 and, you know, he's single.
Mm-hmm. He says, well, good for him. I know some beautiful 36-year-old girls that are single virgins as well. So maybe we should get them together. Is he looking for a spouse or does he think he wants to be single?
He's looking. But what I originally called in for is, if I may.
Yes.
My daughter, 29 years old, she's devout. She lives with me. Mm-hmm. And her boyfriend, they've been invited to a wedding. And it's not, one's Catholic, but they're going to get married outside the church. And they're wondering if, you know, if they should do it, if they should go or not.
Mm.
And, you know, things like that.
Mm. That going to a wedding is a tough question. Are they marrying, you're saying they're marrying outside the church, so it's just going to be like a beach wedding or a hotel or something like that?
It's going to be in the Protestant church.
Okay.
You know, one is Catholic. I don't know the exact details.
Okay, so your daughter is invited to a wedding in a Protestant church where her friends are getting married, right?
Well, her boyfriend is, so naturally she goes because they've been kind of going, you know, steady.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, for a long time, many years ago, the church would say that, you know, we couldn't go to Protestant churches. But I think that the teachings that I've heard lately is if it's a valid marriage, which it probably would be if they're getting married in a Christian church, and that you can attend the wedding of that person as long as it is going to be a, you know, a valid marriage and a wedding, even if it is in a Protestant church. So with a specific situation, she probably needs to, you know, check with her own pastor, you know, about that. But it doesn't sound like one of those that you you boycott, to, you know, for making a point that it's, you know, invalid or wrong. So as long as it's, you know, a valid wedding in a Christian church, I believe that would be okay for her to attend. Okay?
Okay. The other thing is, like, I just got snatches of, see, I don't know the exact details. And that's the thing, that listening to the thing about money and communication, mm-hmm. My daughter living with me, we have different opinions. She's all worried about me full time, does the work in the shop, and she don't let me do too much because she's worried about me. I'm 35, she's 29.
Mm-hmm.
And she just keeps bringing up, I'm too generous to the charities and the church, and we have differences. She'll buy a bargain. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it, and then freeze it. You know, we have, I think we have communication from what you've been saying now.
Mm-hmm.
But how do I resolve it? Because she's very good, she works all the time, and she kind of...
Is she helping you manage your money, Steve? Is she helping you manage your money?
No, I pay the bills.
Okay. If you're paying your bills and paying your own way, it might be just a good, gentle lesson for her to see that at a certain age when we need less to live on, you know, because you're not raising, you know, a whole house full of kids anymore and you don't need Halloween costumes and, you know, all the things that cost, you know, the food, clothing, and shelter to get through the raising the kids years, that it is a good thing to give away money. And so instead of arguing with her, though, when she brings that up, let's find a way of making peace. And so when if she says something like that, for example, Steve, like, oh, you're, you know, being too generous, you're giving away too much money to, you know, too many good causes, and then just say, let her expound on that. Don't just argue back and just say, oh, no, I'm not, I want to give to these causes. Just say, why don't you sit with me and show me your ideas of what you think, what causes need less money then, and what causes you don't think are important. And that way, at least she is heard. And at the same time, you can educate her on the joy of giving, on the joy of supporting those good Catholic things that you support. So turn it into an opportunity for communication, which we can in any kind of argument about money. Turn it into an opportunity for communication and to teach her about why you give so generously to good Catholic causes. So hope that helps you and your daughter as well, Steve. Thank you so much for the call. Hang on, Father Joseph from Michigan. We'll be talking to you in a minute. And anybody else can call now. The lines are open at 877-573-7825. This is Mass Appeal. Be back in a moment.
If you're homeschooling a dyslexic student, don't worry. There are resources and support groups out there for you. And today on Homeschool Heartbeat, your host, Mike Smith, and his guest, Faith Behrens, discuss how to find the support you need.
Faith, can you recommend any resources for homeschool parents of children with dyslexia?
You bet. Parents should definitely check out Daphne Herford's book, To Read or Not to Read, and also The Dyslexia Empowerment Program by Dr. Ben Foss. I would encourage them to visit the National Center for Learning Disabilities website. There's also a parent-led organization called Decoding Dyslexia, an organization for mentoring called Eye to Eye. Now, I know one of the burning questions in parents' minds is, well, what about curriculum? So we suggest an Orton-Gillingham method of instruction. This is the most effective and research-based for children with dyslexia. So some good curricula include All About Reading and All About Spelling, the Barton System for Reading and Spelling, Lexercise, Tracy Tutor or Vertice Learning, and I also love Diane Craft's materials and her Right Brain Phonics.
Faith, thank you so much for joining us on the program this week. Your advice and insight are going to help a ton of families. And until next time, I'm Mike Smith.
Today's program was part of a longer interview. If you'd like to hear the whole thing, you can find it on our website at homeschoolheartbeat.com. That's homeschoolheartbeat.com. And to find other programs like the one you heard today, our archives are filled with great tips on how to encourage your students' creativity and much more. So give us a try. You can find us at homeschoolheartbeat.com.
Welcome back to Mast Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. Call with your question or personal problem. Our next caller is Father Joseph Gonzalez from Farmington Hills, Michigan. Welcome to the show, Father. Thanks for calling. You're on the air now.
Well, good morning, Kelly. Good morning. That's Father Gonzalez from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but you're close. You're really close.
Okay.
That's okay. Thank you for taking my call. First, I want to begin by saying your show and you personally are a blessing, an absolute blessing.
Thank you.
Your show is fantastic, and it just reaches out and gives encouragement and hope to so many, many people. And you need to hear that, I think, because you really are a blessing to us all.
Thank you.
I'm calling just to say that, as you know, this Feast of the Immaculate Conception is extra special this year,
mm-hmm.
and that Pope Francis has announced the Year of Mercy. And our parish, which has been engaging in a lot of evangelization activity in these past 3 years, have decided to incorporate that as part of our evangelization outreach.
Ooh, good.
Taking inspiration from Archbishop Alan Vigneron and the priest convocation we had in September, we have combined a 24-hour Eucharistic adoration with 24 hours with the Sacrament of Reconciliation being
offered. Oh, my goodness, 24 hours of confessions?
Yes, and I'll be doing 23 of those.
Oh, my goodness.
It's going to be a challenge, but, you know, I've been working out, and I'm ready to go, and it'll be exciting. I think that basically, Kelly, there's no better way to begin evangelizing than by spending time before the Blessed Sacrament. I found that true in my own personal life. I think my parishioners have really caught on, too, that that's very important, because as we sit before the Blessed Sacrament, we're with the Lord himself, and he inspires
us
and encourages us and overcomes our doubts and the fears that we have of sharing our faith
yes.
to others, which is the heart and soul of evangelization. And we can't do it on our own. We need the courage of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need his support, and he's there for us. And all we have to do is open our lives to him.
Now, this 24-hour adoration, is it just on December 8th then?
It'll begin December the 8th, right after morning mass concludes at about 10 a.m.
Okay.
And it will go all through the day and all through the night until morning. Well, actually, there's 1 hour the sacrament will be reposed. It'll be the 6:30 evening mass.
Okay. That's normal.
Then we put it back on after that mass is over about 7:30, and then the adoration will continue until the following morning at 9 a.m.
Okay. So you'll have confessions and adoration straight through in the opening day of the Year of Mercy.
Yes.
And I hope a lot of other priests and pastors and bishops that were listening can
may, even at this late date, implement that. Because I remember one time, Father Joseph, when for the Feast of St. John Vianney, that one of the parishes, about a half an hour from here, it's not like it was super close, but they had 20, like all full-day confessions. And I don't know if priests understand how crazy people's schedules are today, but to have confessions just on Saturday afternoon from 4 to 4:30 before the 5 o'clock Mass isn't that good for people who are very busy or people who are not going to confession very often and wonder if they should stop in and don't want to get in line. But when somebody who's been away from the church for a long time or somebody who wants to go to confession but it isn't convenient, when they know I've got 24 hours that whole day, I can come morning, noon, night, the priest will be there for me, you don't know how much we appreciate that. And I just pray that so many people will come in there. Now, how do you have a plan to stay up for 23 hours, though, Father? Coffee?
Well, my secret is espresso. But when you mention about being available for 24 hours and how hectic people's lives are, when I first came to St. Malachy 18 years ago, one of the first things I did was to build a shrine to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and it's right outside the front of our church, and it's open 24/7. Mm. And it's a beautiful place to meditate and to pray and to light candles. Mm-hmm. And what I have found over these many, many years is that people come at all hours of the day and night. And some are regulars. Some will come at 2 or 3 in the morning, light their candle, have their prayer on their way to work or on their way from work. And so by having the Sacrament of Reconciliation available for the 24 hours, it'll be available for them. Because you're absolutely right. The one time in the Saturday afternoon does not fit everyone's schedule.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so glad that you announced that to us. One for the local people and the other for ideas for people all over. So thank you so much for sharing that idea with us and just encouraging us to go to adoration, to go to confession, reminding us of this opening of the Year of Mercy here on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Mother. So thank you so much for the call, Father Joseph. I appreciate
it. You're welcome, and thank you for all the good work you do, too, and God bless you.
Oh, thank you. Pray for me. I appreciate it, and I'll pray for you. Oh, boy. I remember one time at late night adoration that somebody had come into the adoration chapel that I was in, and it kind of gave me an eerie feeling because I was the only one there, and it was dark and late, and it's, although there's a code to get in, somebody had, you know, come in. And when I had this eerie feeling, you know, I just didn't know what to do because I was all by myself, and this was a guy. And then he asked me a question, and he started talking. Usually in the Adoration Chapel, it's hard to find out that protocol when you say hi to somebody or not, but he said something, and he just wanted to know some norm about, you know, the genuflecting or things like that, as if he had not been there that often. Then to find out, he had just come from prison. He had just been let out of prison and came to the church. And he had met a priest while he was in prison that had, you know, told him about going to adoration. So that's the first place he came when he got out of prison. So we chatted a little bit, and then we prayed more, you know. So we had just a few moments there together chatting about the benefit of adoration. But that was one of my scariest moments of being at adoration. But I love to be in the adoration chapel with God. It's like my date with Jesus. It's a wonderful time. And so in this Year of Mercy coming up, if you're not a person who regularly goes to adoration, which means that the Jesus is exposed, not behind the doors of the tabernacle, but he's in a monstrance out there in his best outfit, enshrined in gold. It's like a little shrine in an adoration chapel, or some churches that are open all the time have that as well. So many parishes now have an adoration chapel. So ask for that. Ask in your diocese or ask in your parishes, where's the closest adoration chapel? Some are open just during the day. Some are 24-hour adoration chapels. And just go sit with Jesus and start your Year of Mercy just right. So this coming December 8th, which is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception of Mary, which means when Mary was conceived in her mother's womb by her mom and dad, that she did not have original sin. This is not the feast about the virgin birth, although that's what the gospel says. This means that Mary, when she was conceived, did not have original sin like we did. So we celebrate that, and Pope Francis has declared this week, December 8th, on that feast day, the beginning of the Year of Mercy. So celebrate that. Go to confession. Go to adoration. Make a commitment to that. Bring people back to church. Invite your relatives to participate in this Year of Mercy.
And we'll be back with more of Mass Appeal after this message.
The Ave Maria Communications Guild invites you to activate your faith. All interested are invited to a free program entitled Relapse Prevention, Tuesday, December 15th at St. Joseph Hospital's Education Center in Ypsilanti. Dawn Farm therapist Eric Anderson will discuss how to identify and prevent addiction relapses. Registration is not required, but for more information, call 734-485-8725 or visit dawnfarm.org. If you'd like to publicize your upcoming event on the community calendar, you can enter it yourself at avemariaradio.net. Click on Community and then Community Calendar and then fill out the fields for your event. Your event will appear on the internet calendar within a couple of days. You can find many more events and enter your own events at our website, AveMariaRadio.net. To become a member of the Guild, call 877-288-1077. Catholic Radio, it's yours to keep.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. The document created to guide the discussions at the October 2015 Worldwide Synod of Bishops in Rome states the following, quote, "Life is a gift of God and a transcendent mystery. Consequently, in no manner must persons at the beginning of life or its end be discarded. On the contrary, steps ought to be taken to ensure that these stages of human life receive special attention." End quote. Here the Synod applies an approach we see in the life of Jesus. He went first to the weakest and poorest and paid the most attention to those who needed the most help. It is also a common sense approach. The weakest must be defended first. Let's give more attention to the children in the womb and to those who are weakened by age and sickness.
This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
Welcome back to Mass Appeal, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK, and not a long wait. You can still get on before the top of the hour when the show ends. So Bill from Illinois is our next caller. Bill, welcome to the show. Thanks for calling. How can I help you today?
Yes, good morning. God bless you.
Thank you.
You know, I was married for 13 years to my wife, and we just got divorced in 2014.
Mm.
And you know, we didn't talk, or we haven't talked. We started to talk after the situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've probably been separated for seven months.
Mm.
And then we got back together. You know, we were looking at rings and stuff like that. And she had to have an operation. And when she had the operation, she had to have somebody take care of her.
Oh, my.
So that was me.
This was after the divorce?
And, yes, just recently.
Okay, yeah, last year or this year. Go ahead.
And then I took care of her and did everything. She couldn't get out of bed. So I brought her to food and sell flowers. And then all of a sudden she says, well, I don't want to have a relationship. You know, she went out and looked at rings, like I said. And then she told me that, well, you know, I don't want to be tied down. I'm too pushy. And, you know, I got my place and she's got her place. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was always there for her. And now, mm-hmm. now all of a sudden that, I'm too pushy and
mm-hmm.
her mom came into town and her mom wanted to see me, but, you know, she told me that she was going to call me on my birthday and that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm 60 years old and, you know, I'm a Christian guy and, I don't, just didn't like how it was handled.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just trying to get some feedback.
Okay. Bill, my heart was just warmed when you said that you took care of her when she was sick. What a beautiful thing to do. And as Christians, we know that when we make those promises that we will, you know, love you and honor you all the days of our lives or till death do we part, whatever particular version of vows that you took, it said in sickness and in health. And there's actually a whole movement of people who are divorced that are trying to be faithful to their spouses. And I got an email from one of them a few weeks ago that they finally did get back together. So if you I think this is a grace. You know, what I hear you saying, I think, is a grace from God, an opportunity to possibly heal or mend a relationship. And it would take some humility. For example, if she says something like, you know, you're too pushy or something like that. Maybe it was a battle of, you know, egos or differences in approaches to things that caused you to split in the first place. But instead of considering that the end, you know, and just giving up on it, just say, well, maybe we can work. Maybe that's something we can work through. Maybe offer to get some counseling yourself and just say, how am I being too pushy? And just say, I want to fix that so we could, you know, spend our later years together. Why start fresh with somebody new when you already love this one person and you can learn to love? Love is a choice. Love is a decision each day. That decision you made to take care of her when she was sick was a decision, but there's something in her that was irritated, and that's why she, you know, asked her to leave at the end. So the humility that will help you will be to take whatever little rejections you are finding, like right now, if her mom didn't call you for your birthday or she says, you know, that, oh, you know, get out of here. Even though she probably did appreciate your help, maybe approach her now that she's feeling a little bit better and just say, do you think we can work this out, or could we try? Would you be willing to try if I took care of what you think is my biggest problem? If you think I'm pushy, if I tried working on that, and not that you're going to change your whole temperament, Bill, but in terms of the way you approach her, and maybe she doesn't feel like she's getting enough. You know, maybe her personality was more submissive, or, you know, was softer, or maybe her personality was so strong that it clashed. But somehow, if you can get some help with the two of you to work that out, there are things that the church offers called a retrovi weekend. It's like a weekend retreat, and couples who've been separated or divorced, or couples that are still married but estranged from one another or have a cold marriage, attend a weekend retreat like that, and they can find healing and reconciliation, as well as some of the skills that they need from the couples putting on the retreat who have already had some of those same problems that you and your wife had that led to your divorce. Have you heard of the Retrovi Retreat program before, Bill?
Yes. Okay. No, I forgot to mention, too, that we haven't spoke since September.
Mm-hmm. I think it's still worth a try. Because marriage is meant to be forever, and it can be healed, and it can be mended. And by the grace of God, in trusting Him, people can learn to reconcile. And maybe even just calling up one of the Retrovi couples and having them chat with you on the phone as to why you should attend the weekend might be helpful to you. So even if you haven't spoken since September, that's just a couple months, I would first start with prayer, of course. Pray to God. Yes, of course, that her heart would be softened, that she'd be open to what is God's will for the two of you, and pray for God's will. You know, we would guess that it would be to heal the marriage, but we don't know exactly if that's true. But pray that God's will be done. Watch Him open the doors and windows, but persevere very gently and very humbly to see if she is willing to agree to you getting help, or both of you getting help, so that you can solve whatever differences cause those problems, and that you could spend these years together. You might need somebody to take care of you if you have surgery and you're sick. She might need someone to take care of her. You might just need to enjoy some retirement time together when you're both finished working. But if you're married for 13 years, I think that it's still worth persevering and working on, and to see if you can get the help that you need to heal
that marriage and heal whatever wounds might have caused her to ask you to leave. So I'm going to give you some encouragement to work on that marriage, pray about that marriage, and get some help, and gently see if she's willing to cooperate as well. Okay, Bill?
Well, if she told me that she didn't want to have any, doesn't want a relationship, she just wants to be by herself.
Okay, but that was September. Let's try again. We're approaching the holidays here. It's December now. And ask her another time, and you can ask her every couple months. Ask her again about Easter time. Respect her response. If she says, no, I'm not, and just say, well, I was just hoping, you know, there would be some, some just little hope in your heart that maybe we could get together and, you know, have coffee or go to dinner and see if she's interested at least in dating. And if she says, again, not by yourself, try again in a couple months. But I think it's worth approaching. Okay. Thank you so much for the call, and I'm going to pray for you as well. It's time for our final break here on Mass Appeal on our Saturday morning live show, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. We have Kathy from Maine on the line. We'll chat with her right after this message.
Here's a Family Minute with child psychologist Dr. Ray Guarendi from Ave Maria Radio.
How important are mealtimes to family cohesiveness? Reader's Digest did a survey some years back searching for the common denominators among families whose children achieved well in school. What did they find? The number one factor most highly associated with kids who did well in school was none other than shared mealtimes. Obviously, that's not the cause of doing well in school, but it was associated more frequently with kids who did well than any other identified factor. Makes sense, doesn't it? Time together, sharing of ideas, cutting out the hustle, the bustle, the hecticness of schedules. Does your family eat meals together? If you're like many American families, I think it's a struggle to get together long enough to have a meal together. But you know what else I think? I think that makes it all the more important that you, in fact, work your schedules to have meal times together when you can sit and talk and listen and share. It'll give your kids memories that'll last forever. And who knows? Maybe along the way, I get an extra A or two. I'm Dr. Ray.
Hi, I'm Peggy Stanton, and I'm inviting you to join me on Power from the Pews when I interview the people who are engaged in remarkable ministries that are making a real difference in their parishes and the world. That's this Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
Show where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. Or was it Kathy from Massachusetts? Let me see. Kathy, online too. Welcome to the show. How can I help you today?
Hi, Colleen. Thank you for taking my call. I've called you once before regarding my son, who is 31 years old. He's been dating a young woman now for almost a year. I called you when the relationship started because I was so concerned about what kind of a match this is, because she does not share our faith, and I've just been very concerned, and you just encouraged us to pray and continue to encourage him. And they've continued their relationship. I just spoke with him. Unfortunately, we've not met her. They live across the other side of the country. And he is coming home now for Christmas, and I spoke with him the other day and asked him how things are going with her, and he said, well, I'm going to give myself until after the first of the year. And I said, to do what? And he said, well, to decide whether or not I want to propose to her. And I said, well, how are you going to decide that? And he said, I don't know. I hope that it's going to come to me. I'm just very concerned. I told him that he doesn't sound like he's in love.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, Mom, maybe it's because I'm expecting it to be kind of a Disney World kind of love, and it's not that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm just so concerned, Colleen. And so my question to you is, how can his dad and I help him now when he's going to come home and we'll have some time alone with him? How mm-hmm. can we help him discern this relationship? We just don't know how to help him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Well, first of all, affirm him. Affirm him in the fact that he's thinking seriously about it and wondering if this is the right thing to do. But also, your concern is good in that when someone's starting a marriage, they should be a little more excited than the practicality of it. And so whether he wants to talk to both of you at the same time or each of you individually, because this is going to be some deep, intimate thoughts of his as he's going to be sharing it. Sometimes that doesn't go well in a group, but whichever of you is closer to him or at different times, or if he's willing to talk to you together, have those like deep heart conversations. Just say and ask him, what are some of her strengths? What would make you want to marry her? Like, why would you think you'd like to spend the rest of your life with her? But then ask him, what's holding you back? What are your concerns? And maybe voicing those and going through them would help. Because some of the concerns you might say, well, that's something you're not going to have the grace for till after you're married anyway. So you can't predict that now. Or some of the things you might say, I'm so glad you're concerned about that. That should be a major red flag. Consider if this is the right person when you if that's one of your concerns. So let him, sometimes just saying these things out loud, voicing his concerns out loud might help him. And then affirm what you see is good, affirm even concerns that it's good that he's concerned about it, and help him think through it. Because to make a big decision like that about getting married, unless he's like an absolutely, totally laid-back personality, should have a little more enthusiasm of, well, let me see, I'll think about it after the first of the year. That if he's not that enthused, that he knows he wants to live with five or six of her, and that this is the person that he knows is going to lead him to heaven, and he wants to join his life with her, and she thinks he is, you know, the next thing, next to coming to heaven, you know, that if they don't have this enthusiastic desire to share God's love with the world, then it's just more a utilitarian relationship, and I'm not sure that's going to carry him through. Now, granted, romance does die at some point, and it rekindles itself on and off throughout the relationship, but there should be a good chemistry and a lot of good reasons why he'd want to marry her, or it's time for him to move on to someone who is the right person for him. So let him know that it's okay to break up. Even give him advice on how to break up if that's necessary. Tell him that he's good to be thinking through this. And I know that you had expressed, Kathy, concerns about the relationship yourself, right?
Yeah.
Right. And so talk about those concerns that you have and just say, I'm glad you're thinking about it after you've heard his concerns. Because say, these are my concerns. You know, I've known you since you were born. And this is what I've seen in you. And this is what I see brings out the best in you. And this is what I see doesn't bring out the best in you. And this is where I see God leading you. And then you and your, after you've heard him out and listened to his concerns, you and your husband can then talk to him about what you see as good for him and best for him and what his options are. Knowing that no relationship is going to be perfect. But if he's concerned and you're concerned, those are two huge red flags, Kathy. That's worth some serious discussion here over Christmas time. And it might not all happen at once. You might have one big conversation, a couple hours, and lots of coffee, but some of them just might be smaller ones. So open up those possibilities and listen to the Holy Spirit and encourage him to go a direction that you see God is leading him. So thanks for the call, Kathy. And God bless all of you. It's great to be here with you during Advent. Colleen Kelly Mast.
Mast Appeal is produced by Ave Maria Radio and broadcast through the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Copies can be purchased or free downloads can be found at the Ave Maria website, avemariaradio.net.
If you have a comment or question for Colleen, write to Colleen at AveMariaRadio.net or Master.